Passport Moms podcast.
Hello, thank you for joining us for episode 25 of the Passporter Moms podcast, Disney and Beyond. I'm Jennifer Marks, Passporter author and Passporter Mom.
And I'm Sarah Varney, Passporter News Editor and Passporter Mom.
The Passporter Moms podcast is a weekly podcast for all travelers with or without kids. We serve up a healthy serving of tips and advice for vacations to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, and destinations in the U.S. and abroad. I'm really excited about the guest that's coming on our podcast today. She's going to be talking about child passenger safety, so, you know, car seats and booster seats and harnesses and stuff. But before we get to that, we have our newsletter to preview. And before we get to that, I would love to know how you are doing, Sarah.
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm good, but too hot.
Too hot. I know it is hot. I can't believe this is episode 25.
25. That's so awesome.
I know.
And, you know, it's kind of just flown by. It's been quite easy.
I know. Well, really awesome. All right. I don't know if I'm going to call it easy, but no, it really has been, actually, though. It's been so much fun. And I have to say, it's sort of funny. I quote unquote met one of our fans this week.
Oh, you did?
Somebody contacted me about doing trip planning for them, you know, through our site, not the Passporter site, through the Mouse Fan Travel site. And I called her with a quick question. And when she picked up the phone, she said, "Oh my gosh, it's Sarah Varney from the podcast. You sound just like you sound on my iPod."
Well, that's a good thing.
It was so cute, and it made me so happy. And it was just so sweet, and it was so neat to get to talk to somebody who, you know, is a listener and a fan. So it made my day.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
So I won't name her because I don't want to embarrass her, but. But you know who you are, and you made my day. So
that's really cool. So is it still hot there?
It is still hot here.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I just need extra air conditioners or I don't know, something.
I know. When I dream, I dream of central air conditioning. I don't have it, but.
Oh, yeah, that makes it difficult, definitely.
Yeah, it's window air conditioners all around down here, but how is Alexander handling the heat?
He's fine.
He's fine. It doesn't bother him at all,
right? It
doesn't
seem to bother him at all. I don't think I've ever heard him say he's too hot. Maybe too cold, but never too hot. You know, I mean, he'll get sweaty, and his face can get kind of flushed, but otherwise, he's fine. What about Ryan?
Oh, you know what? Ryan's like me. We're always hot. We don't get cold.
Well,
you know, it'll be the middle of winter and Ryan and I will be, you know, shucking our jackets off and moving on. It just doesn't. So he's hot. Yeah, we're hot. He turns, you know, his cheeks get all flushed and he sweats. I've never seen a six-year-old sweat like this kid sweats. He just gets in the car at the end of the day and he's drenched.
Well, that's a good thing, though. It means that everything's working the way it's supposed to.
Oh, yeah. Everything's working the way it's supposed to.
That's good.
Perfectly healthy kid, but he's like me. He runs hot. Mm-hmm. Not all the time. So when you make it extra hot, we just, ugh, bleh.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, it's just too hot.
So which made it very nice this week. In the newsletter, we have an article about Switzerland.
Nice. Perfect.
So it was, you know, so I'm reading about this lovely lake in Switzerland, and it sounds so cool and beautiful, and it was, you know, was a nice read while I'm sitting here, you know, schwitzing, you know. Sweating, for those of you not from the Northeast. So we have an article on Switzerland this week, and then we also have an article on planning a Walt Disney World wedding. By a new contributor, Mandy Titus. The article on Switzerland is, of course, the lovely, the talented Cheryl Pendry. And then we have a new contributor who wrote about her experience planning a wedding at Walt Disney World for her and her partner. So very, very, very exciting.
Is that the photo I saw in Italy in the photo archive?
Yes.
That was awesome. I'm like, wow, look at that great photo. It looks like they took it from the perspective of like a guest or maybe like the photographer. And so I was so curious about it. And well, now I know.
It's a great photo.
Yes, it is.
She has another really good photo that I absolutely love of them and their character special guest. I won't spoil the surprise. All together where they had their reception, which was at the salon at the Living Seas, where we had the
Oh,
Decades of
nice.
Dreams event last year.
Yes.
And it's all three of them lined up and looking into the fish tank, and it's very cool.
Oh, well, I'm looking for. I did not see that. I look forward to seeing it.
It's very
Very, very
cool.
cool. And how about news this week?
Well, unfortunately, we're going to start with some very sad news. An electrician by the name of Steven Snyder unfortunately was killed last week while working at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex. He is was working either on or near, I've read conflicting reports, one of the transformer units near the entrance to the complex. There was an accident, and he was shocked and was killed.
That's very
So
sad.
we're very sad about
Yes.
that. You never like to hear about these accidents. And somebody asked me recently, "Boy, I'm hearing so much about these accidents. Is that are they happening more often?" No, I honestly don't believe that they are. I think that we live in a 24-hour news cycle, and
Exactly. Yes.
I don't think there's been an increase in
There may
accidents.
be an increase in reporting news,
Exactly.
certainly over the last 10 years. I know I've seen a trend over just more little tidbits that we may never have known about before coming to light and stuff like that.
Exactly. Exactly. So that was very sad. We're very, our sympathies are extended to, his family and his friends. So,
Absolutely, yes.
on to happier news. If you're a D23 member, D23 announced some new events. It looks like they have a new event for this fall. It's called Destination D, Disneyland. And this event is going to alternate with the D23 Expo.
Oh,
So
cool.
Destination D will take place September 24th through the 25th in 2010 at Disneyland. And then D23 Expo will take place in August of 2011. So, and then they'll continue to cycle on and off. It's a 2-day event. It's got presentations on the history of the parks, interviews with Imagineers, guest appearances, screenings, so on and so forth. So similar to D23, I think without sort of the trade show
Aspect to it, right?
aspect of it, exactly. So tickets are available exclusively to D23 members plus one, if that makes
Plus,
any
like
sense.
their guest, you mean?
Their guest. You can
Right.
only have one guest that is a non-D23 member. So tickets are pretty pricey. They're $125 per person and can be purchased on the D23 site. And then the last little tidbit is a contest that, for the record, I have already entered. It is the Sorcerer's Wanted sweepstakes. It's
Yes.
the tie-in with the Sorcerer's Apprentice movie that is coming out this week. And the grand prize winner wins an apprenticeship with an Imagineer for a day.
How awesome would that be?
How cool would that be?
Yeah.
How cool would that be? So I found that and immediately clicked on the link and went to go sign up. So anybody else's number, I'm going for it. And it also includes, of course, a trip to Disneyland with 2-night hotel accommodations and 3-day park hopper passes. You can enter. It's actually a Facebook contest.
Okay.
So you have to visit their Facebook page to enter. I don't think you need, I'm unclear sort of on the whole, like if you need to actually be a member of Facebook to view the page. I think anybody can view the page. So you don't have to be a registered member of Facebook to enter. So.
Okay, well, that's cool. I'll be going there right after the
Yeah.
podcast.
Next
Cool.
up.
I never win contests, but you won't win if you don't try, so
Well, hey, can't win if you don't play.
that's right.
So that's our newsletter for this week. Passporter News is the weekly e-newsletter companion to your Passporter series of guidebooks. It comes out every week on Thursday and includes articles on general travel as well as Disney travel. And just for the record, I've gotten a whole bunch of requests for information and guidelines on how to submit articles. I'm slowly making my way through them, sort of interspersed with actually doing the newsletter and sort of all that stuff. So if I haven't, if you sent me an email over the past 2 days and I haven't replied yet, I will this week, I promise. And I appreciate all the submissions and the interest that we've had in submitting articles. So, and you can subscribe at www.passporter.com.
Thank you, Sarah. Now I am pleased to introduce our special guest for this week's episode, Christine De Laurentiis. Christine is not only passionate about all things Disney, she is a graphic artist, woohoo, wife and mom of two, as well as volunteering as a certified child passenger safety technician since 2003. Christine's two children, ages 4 and 9, have visited Walt Disney World at the ages of 18 months, 2 years, 2.5 years, 4.5 years, 6.5 years, 7 and 8 years old, using car and booster seats along the way. Welcome, Christine.
Hi, it's so great to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So, What is a child passenger safety technician?
Well, it's a fancy name for car seat tech. So I know many people have seen commercials on television that say 85% of all children riding in cars today are riding unsafely. Please go get your car seat checked. I'm the person that you come to get your car seat checked. In order to be a certified technician, we have to take a four-day class, four whole entire days, all on car seats, and then take a test. And we also have to be signed off on hands-on experience. So we have instructors that come and make sure that we know what we're doing with the car seats themselves and the seatbelt systems. And then every 2 years, we have to be recertified. So in our governing body is Safe Kids USA.
That's awesome. I remember now when, actually before Alexander was born, I went to like my local hospital and there was a car seat safety session and there was someone there to actually make sure that we had installed it correctly. And we had. So yes, now it all seems familiar to me. That's awesome. That's a wonderful thing to be doing.
And one of the things too is that we're not a service, we're an education.
Mm-hmm.
Vehicle. So when somebody comes into a car seat check, I know at least for our checks, is I don't do the car seat for them. I help them figure out the best way to install their car seat, and then they install the car seat. Because I'm not going to be there when your one-year-old gets car sick in the car and you need to take everything out and reinstall everything. So it's important for parents to know.
Yes, it's important that you know how to put your car seat in. Absolutely, yes. Yes.
And so, Christine, you also have a lot of experience with child safety while traveling, thanks to your own travels,
yeah.
Your two kids.
Yes. Both of my children, as I said in my bio, we've been to Disney a number of times at a lot of different ages. And that car seat safety idea when you're going on vacation is very different for an 18-month-old than it is for a 5-year-old.
That's right.
Or a 7-year-old. And you have to think of different things, basically. So our first foray down to Orlando was when my daughter was 18 months old, and we had to figure out everything and trying to figure out how we're going to bring the car seat on the plane and how we're going to get through the airport. What are we going to do with it when we get there? Those were all things to take into consideration. But I think the very first one is to make the decision to bring the car seat with you in the first place.
So what officially are the rules regarding car seats on an airplane?
Okay, so the FAA has decided that children under 2 years old are allowed to be seated on laps of their parents or caregivers and are not required to have a separate paid-for seat.
Okay.
And then after that, actually, so if you pay for a seat for your car, for your child, you're assured that they can use their car seat. But if you don't, you have the ability to use an empty seat on the plane, which, you know, 9 years ago, that was a possibility when my daughter and my husband and I first started traveling together.
Yeah, not
but
so
today,
much these days.
Not so much anymore, yeah.
But what the FAA requires is, if you're going to be using your seat on the airplane, is that you follow the directions of the car seat manufacturer, which is very key, and that your child, that your car seat has to be approved for use on aircraft. And there's a big old sticker on the side of your car seat if it is, and it has very specific wording saying that you can use it on the airplane.
Okay. So now a lot of the times I get this question all the time. Do I need to bring the car seat? Aren't they going to be just as fine on the lap belt? And it was you actually that said the thing to me, your laws of physics line that I now tell everybody. So tell everybody what that is, please.
So, you know, you would never imagine putting your 2-year-old into the car with just a seatbelt on them and driving down the road anywhere. And in the same vein, you don't want to imagine putting them on an airplane and not having them fit in that seatbelt, because a 2-year-old's not going to fit in that lap belt that's on the airplane and protect them in the case of turbulence or, God forbid, you know, some horrible crash landing of some sort.
Right. Or even a sudden, like a sudden drop in altitude.
Exactly.
Yes. What my line, as you say, Sarah, is that the laws of physics supersede any law.
That's right.
any state law or federal law or FAA regulation.
Yeah.
That's right.
So the laws of physics say that, you know, if there's a sudden drop in altitude, your child's going to hit the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and you can't hold on. I mean, you might think that you can just hold on. It doesn't work that way. Yeah,
doesn't work that way.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No,
so even though it is not required by the airlines, your recommendation is to always use an FAA-approved car seat when traveling on a plane with your child.
If your child sits in a car seat in the car at home, they should be sitting one on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes for when you reach Florida, because Florida actually has one of the most lenient child restraint laws in the United States. And while I know in Pennsylvania, where I live, the law is that a child must be restrained in either a car seat or a booster seat through their eighth year, or up through their eighth year.
Mm-hmm.
In Florida, they only have to be in a car seat until their fourth year.
Like,
once they turn four, they're allowed to... Yep. Once they turn four, they're allowed to be seated in the car's seatbelt system.
I can't imagine Alexander sitting with just the seatbelt in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, Ryan
and
either.
He's almost six. Sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, what their law states is specifically all children under the age of four must be in a child restraint. Child restraint mm-hmm. is fancy wording for car seat with a harness. All children between the ages four and six, so all 4 and 5 year olds, must be in either a child restraint or a seatbelt. Mm-hmm. After six, well, all bets are off.
Oh my.
Really?
Wow.
Wow. So actually, you know what? I forgot to ask you, Christine, before we get off the airplane, what about... Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the CARES harness system, because
sure.
Both Jennifer and I have used CARES.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you guys can talk about it, because, and then I'll talk about the cons in using it. There are a lot of pros, but there are some cons. So okay. You guys,
right.
Because I've never used it.
Okay.
Yeah, Jennifer and I have both used it. I used it. Let's see. Last time I used it, I think Ryan was four.
Yeah. Same here.
And I used an older version than what is currently on the market. So I know that they have made some adjustments to it since I last used it. And my only issue with it was that there was no restraint sort of on the bot, like between Ryan's legs.
And the kids could slip down. He
could sort of wiggle out the bottom. But from what I understand from the CARES website is that that issue has been addressed somewhat. And that it is more of an installation issue than it's more of a user error than it is.
Right. Well, I used a car seat when Alexander was an infant on the plane. But once he grew out of his car seat, and I really used it, you know, for as long as I could. But clearly, at some point, it just wouldn't fit, and he wouldn't fit in it. And that's when I switched over to the CARES harness, because I just didn't feel like he was being protected well enough, especially from any kind of turbulence. He just was really wiggly. And half the time he had wiggled out of whatever, you know. So I really liked the harness for that reason. But, you know, eventually he grew out of that as well. So he is just using the belt now. He's too big for the harness, you know.
Right.
Once
once
there's a certain height, it's not even safe anymore. It doesn't fit. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, Christine, tell us a little bit. So we've talked about the pros, and for those of you who aren't familiar with what the CARES harness is it is a harness that goes over the back of the seat that turns the restraint system into a 5-point harness, very similar to what most child restraint or car seats use. They have something that is restraining them and holding them into the seat at 5 different, as opposed to a seatbelt, which is a 3-point harness. So
it is actually the only harness system of that sort that is approved by the FAA.
Okay.
There are some other items on the market, the baby bear, and some people would like to try to use like a baby Bjorn or a sling or something like that if they have a lap baby. Those things are not approved by the FAA, even though some of them are marketed specifically for use on airplanes. And many times, if the flight attendant isn't as up on the FAA regulations, they might let it slide. So you might hear people say, well, I use it all the time. But the FAA regulations say during takeoff and landing, none of those items are allowed to be used except for the KRS harness.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's important to note, that it is the only exception to that rule.
Okay.
So you can only use an FAA-approved car seat or the KRS harness on the plane. So the pro is that, you know, it's easy to carry. It's easy to use, and it gets you to your destination with your child getting there safely. And you don't have to drag a car seat with you. Cons: it's expensive. And there are some ways to get around it. I know that people rent them on eBay, and I do know of many people that have bought them, like two or three families bought one, and they share it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all options to get around that. But it is expensive. And then the other one, if it's expensive and you're going to Disney once every two or three years, that might not be the option for you. It might be easier if you take a car seat. But if you're going as often as both of you do, then obviously that's
yes,
a great option.
Yeah.
And then on the other side too is if you don't have transportation once you get there. So if you guys are going and using Disney Magical Express, you're fine. But if you're going there and you're going to be needing your car seat when you get there, then how's your car seat getting there? So it's a lot easier to use it.
Yeah, well, we always, like I said, when he was little enough to fit in the car seat on the plane, obviously we had it, but later on he wasn't, and we brought his car seat with us when we had a rental car. You can check it. The airline allows you to check it for free. You don't have to pay an extra fee for it. You just give it to them when you show up, just so everyone knows that. So we always took his car seat with us.
Right. Yep. So if you're renting a car, you can either check it, which I'm not a big fan of checking car seats, only because if your luggage is lost, then you have no way to get from the airport to your destination without going and getting a car.
Well, actually, this did happen to us once. They temporarily misplaced our car seat, and as it happens, because this is probably must be common, they actually had loaner car seats, and we did check to make sure that they were they were new car seats, that they weren't old discarded ones that maybe been damaged or whatever. Because a used car seat that's been there's issues with that, but they actually had loaner car seats that we could use because we obviously had to go.
So
if that ever happens, now there's obviously no guarantee it's going to depend on your airport and probably even the airline. And perhaps the baggage people, but that was an option in our case.
Right.
So, yeah.
I'm that anal planner person, so I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. So we actually opted to use our car seat, mostly because by the time the care system came out, it was too late for my daughter. But now my son's 4 and a half, and he's gone to Disney when he was 2, and now 4 and a half. We just got back a few weeks ago. And when he was 2, I really looked into it. But I looked at when we planned to come back, and my son was already 30 pounds, and the KRS harness is 22 to 44 pounds. And I said, you know what? It would be perfect right now because we were using Magical Express. We didn't need it once we got there. But am I going to get my money's worth out of this for one use?
Yeah.
So we opted to use his car seat.
Right. Yep.
So there are downsides.
So, Christine, the other question that we get a lot, both on the Passport Boards and just, I think, I know I've answered this multiple times personally, and Jennifer, I'm sure you have too, is are car seats used on the Disney's Magical Express buses?
No.
Correct. They are.
No. No. So what we did, because we brought our car seats with us, and actually out of all of the trips that we've made in my daughter will say that would be 5 since I've had children. out of all of those trips, this past trip was our first that we had rented a car. We've used Disney Magical Express every other time. And what we did is we brought the car seat with us. We put it under the bus. At the time, we were flying Southwest, and all those trips we had to use anything big goes under the bus anyway. So coming back, you had to bring it on the bus anyway. But we put the stroller under the bus as well as the car seat. The car seat would go under the bus, and then, the children come on the bus. Buses are not required to have car seats at this time. School buses may possibly have them at some point, but buses do not are not required to have car seats or seat belts. And in fact, a bus is actually a lot safer than a car, a personal vehicle. They go at slower speeds, and they also have built-in safety right into the bus. The very high seats are designed to collapse in a specific way in a crash situation. So it's actually quite safe to be on the bus without the car seat. I know I was very nervous about it our first couple of trips, but I made sure that I put our child, you know, whichever one I'm with, I put them at the window seat. They want to look at the window anyway, so that way they're not falling into the aisle or trying to get up. And it's actually quite safe. And also on-site Disney transportation, again, no car seats.
Okay.
They're very safe.
And now how about taxis?
Taxis in, I've actually never used one when we were down there because we always use Magical Express. From my understanding is most of the taxis that are available for you to contact and hop in on property have access to car seats. So when you call for a taxi, you can request specifically what kind of car seat. So I'm not sure if they have the full gamut of infant seats and forward-facing and rear-facing seats and boosters, but I'm sure you can check that out and ask for them and request them when you go.
Okay.
But what I would say is if you are not prepared to put your child in a car seat in the taxi, I would use Disney transportation. And this gets back to the laws of physics. You know, just because you're on vacation, the laws of physics have not been suspended. You are in the Disney bubble, but the Disney bubble does have car crashes from time to time. So you need to make sure that your child is secure. If your child is secured in a car seat at home with a harness or they're in a booster seat, they should be secured in the same way when they're on vacation.
I agree completely. Yes. Well, I think that we should answer some questions.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Excellent.
Okay. All right. Our first question is from Holly98, and she writes, some of our friends are going to Walt Disney World, and they have two young boys. They are wondering if they can take snacks, water bottles, and lunches inside the parks. Thank you in advance for your answers. Well, I know that I have many times. I seem to recall that there was at one point, and I couldn't find it last time I looked, you know, a rule that says, you know, you cannot bring in food into the park.
The conventional wisdom is within reason.
Yeah, if you bring in a picnic lunch for 10 people, that's going to be a problem.
Wheeled coolers. There are reports that, you know, people wheeling in sort of those, you know, those little wheeled, it's almost like a carry-on suitcase or something like that. That's like a little igloo cooler. Uh-huh. Reports are that those have been turned away unless they are for medical reasons. But you know, every mother of every toddler has walked into Disney with snacks, goldfish, bottles, water bottles.
Yes. And I highly recommend it too.
And don't leave home without them.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know
when my kids were younger, I always went in with disposable sippy cups.
Yeah.
Because if I lost it, if we left it at a restaurant or whatever, I was not crying because we lost another one on vacation.
Exactly.
And if they're really young, those disposable table mats and the bibs were really helpful as well.
Very helpful. Yes, yeah. I love those things.
Oh, yeah.
And only other thing I would say is for snacks, make sure they're dry and not melty.
Yeah, so you don't want something
in the summer.
Yeah, melting in the Florida heat.
Yeah. No yogurt covered raisins. Those are That's not going to be pretty.
Our next question is from Travelers 4. Our family will be staying at Port Orleans French Quarter later this month. Everyone deals with the heat fine except for me. Despite being well hydrated, our last trip to Walt Disney World had me getting led to the indoors at Animal Kingdom by two very kind cast members. Most of our time will be at Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and Hollywood Studios, and the resort. Aside from using the pool and shopping, are there other indoor places, activities we should consider for taking a break from the heat? I don't mind heading back to the resort midday, but I thought I'd see if there were some other options.
Oh, I'm all over this one. Okay. I'm a hot person. We talked about this earlier in the podcast. I don't do heat. I don't sweat. I don't enjoy. So I have perfected the art of finding every single cool indoor attraction to take a break in. At the Magic Kingdom, that's going to be the Hall of Presidents is the perfect place to, even if you don't even go into the attraction itself, there's some shade right in front of the building. They have sort of a shaded patio where there's art, you know, cast members do caricatures and things like that. So that's a great place to just get some shade. But in the attraction itself, it's cool. It's dark. It's perfect to, you know, watch the attraction or maybe take a nap. But, you know, I didn't say that. So Mickey's PhilharMagic is another one that I highly recommend for getting in and out of the cool. You mentioned using the pool. Absolutely, I recommend that. Shopping, absolutely, I recommend that. Epcot. The movies in China and Canada and France are all perfect opportunities to get inside, get cool. But the best in Epcot is Universe of Energy or Ellen's Energy Adventure. I forget the technical name. That's like a 45-minute long nap for me.
It is. Even when I don't want to fall asleep, I do. Yeah. It's so cool and dark. Yes, perfect.
So look at your park map when you get to a park each day and look and see which attractions are indoors. Anything that involves a movie, anything that involves a show is going to be a perfect opportunity. The other tip that I really love for staying cool and staying hydrated is filling your water bottle or whatever other sort of you're using for your water or for your hydration, filling it with ice from the ice machine or putting it in the tiny little sort of freezer section of the refrigerator in your room if you have one. Mm-hmm. And starting the day with super, super, super cold, if not frozen, water that will then, you know, melt and stay cool through a good portion of the day. It is really important to stay hydrated. That's the number one reason you see people sort of requiring first aid or assistance is dehydration. So
Yeah, I also have a lot of problems with the heat, and I'm glad you're not spending a huge amount of time at Animal Kingdom because that is
the hottest
very park. Much the hottest park. In fact, I heard recently that there's I can't remember. I think it was Dave who told me, and he's a really good source. It has something to do with the placement of the parking lot and reflecting heat. Believe it or not,
really?
I had not heard that before. And that explains it because, I mean, there's plenty of trees and stuff. I mean, I don't know what's so hot. But wear something on your head. Keep your head, you know, your head is so important both for retaining heat and you know, and when you're keeping it in when it's too hot. Keep your head cool. So wear a hat, something to cover the top of your head. I also suggest, you know, just like, you know, dress cool. Don't dress to impress. Dress comfortably and cool. Don't worry about what you look like. It's very important that you know, you're comfortable. And also every time you have an opportunity to go inside, take it. Don't just pass it off because you want to rush off the next ride.
Yeah.
And also just sort of, you know, take your temperature. Like, you know, every few minutes, how am I feeling? Am I doing okay? Am I too hot? It's really easy in the excitement and the stress of a Disney vacation to overlook your personal needs, especially when you've got kids with you. So pay close attention to how you're feeling and insist on breaks when you need them. That's what I do. And generally that helps. Yes.
Yeah. You know, we were hardcore December visitors. And a couple of years ago, I went down with my daughter for 5 days, and then we just came back for 5 days in June. We went in July with my daughter. And it really changed the way I attacked the parks. It absolutely. The heat was such a huge factor, and I had thought that I was prepared for it, and I wasn't. And the best thing that we've done is get up really early, go to rope drop, take advantage of early and late extra magic hours, and go back to the resort. And to be honest, by the time we hit noon, we were ready to go back to the resort. We were tired. The sun just fries you. Mm-hmm. And it was just much, much easier.
Yep, that's good. Very good advice. I personally won't be doing that because I don't like to get up early. But I think that for those of you who do, that is excellent advice.
All the trips we've taken together, I haven't seen her at breakfast.
No, you know, these days I get up at before 7 a.m. every morning because of Alexander. So, I mean, he's getting up earlier. He's going to sleep earlier, getting up earlier. So, yeah, maybe. Who knows? Still, I don't know. It just doesn't appeal to me.
We actually took naps in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, whenever I've gone back, yeah, and it feels, you feel wonderful when you get up. You're like a new person.
Yeah.
And you're cooled off from being in the nice, dark, cold room. Yes. Yeah. See, sometimes I just skip the morning and then have the nap. See, so, but then I'm out really late. And then not so much anymore, Alexander. In the old days, perhaps. Okay. Our next question is from Tracy Kim. She writes, at the Walt Disney World Resorts, we call them mousekeepers, but what are they called on the Disney cruises? Is it room steward? I just want to make sure that the persons cleaning our room are not forgotten when it comes to tips. So while room steward is kind of like the a standard cruise term, in fact, they call them stateroom host and hostess. That's like what it'll say on your little tip envelope. You'll actually be putting your receipt that you get when you pay your tips at guest services into a little envelope, and it's labeled. So in fact, even if you don't give them the receipt, they still get the tip. It will go to the right person. I guess unless you were giving them cash, but I don't think... I guess some people might give them cash, actually, now that I think about it. But I personally wouldn't advise that. I think it's much better to use the guest services and put it on your debit card or credit card, or you could give them cash at that point, too. And then with the little receipt into the envelope. I think that's much just safer in general.
Yep.
All right. Our next question is from Susie Q 62982, who writes, I'm stuck on what to get my son to play with on the plane. So far, I've got him those big Tootles crayons and a little set of Toy Story play keys. I'm going to get him a color book from Dollar Tree. Anyone have any ideas? Well, I don't know how old her son is, but I have used lots of things on the plane. Play-Doh is really good because generally it doesn't usually fall off. Oh, goodness, what are they called? They're like...
Pipe cleaners?
Pipe cleaners, thank you. Those are awesome. Alexander loves them, and they don't make a mess, you know, and he can make all sorts of shapes from them. That's my favorite, actually.
Ryan is a big fan of sticker books, and has been since he was a little kid. Anything to do with stickers was a big hit in our house. Wicca sticks, which are little sort of wax sticks, similar to the pipe cleaner idea. They sort of stick to each other and not to much else. So that's fabulous. We were also big Play-Doh fans. But basically, I mean, with little kids, no matter what their age, as long as it's something that they haven't seen before. Color Wonder markers, Crayola Color Wonder. Okay. Those are awesome.
You don't have to worry about them getting anywhere else.
They only work on the special paper. So.
Yes. So like Sarah said, you keep them as a surprise or whatever, then pull them out in the plane and be like, oh, wow.
Anything new and different. How about you, Christine?
Over the years, we've come up with our standard is that I pack their backpacks the night before we leave, and they're not allowed to look into them until we get to the gate of the airport.
Yep.
And I collect stuff over time, and I just stash it, and then I stuff it all in. And my rule is 2/3 new, half and 1/3 tried and true. So they'll have a favorite book in there or a favorite toy. Like for my son, it has to be his cars, vehicles. But then 2/3 of it will be a new book or a new Leapster game or BS for my daughter. That type of, or the little character sets from the Disney store.
Yeah.
I'll put them in, I'll unpack. Definitely if you have new toys, take all of the packaging off it. Put them in the bag that way because you don't want to try to detach Barbie's head from the sewn card on the back of the thing. You both have boys, you don't know that. They sew Barbie's head to the back.
Oh, well,
we
have toys that like that,
So,
I know, some toys are just impossible to get out of the box.
Yeah. But we've always loved Travel Magna Doodles, or Doodle Pros, as they're called now. I found them a lot easier to deal with than crayons or markers or anything like that because they're not rolling onto the floor and they're not hunting around on the floor of the plane. And also, for really little kids, an empty cup, just, you know, a disposable cup, and Fisher-Price little people. They just put them in the cup and out of the cup and in the cup. Works wonders.
Yeah, I really like those Magna Doodles. We used one for several years. So it was this little travel size, and we just took it everywhere with us. In the car, in the bag.
Oh, the other thing that we used all the time, real quick for Ryan, was our iPods. Mm-hmm. You can download free episodes of Sesame Street on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And even when Ryan was a little kid, he could, you know, sort of put the earbuds in his ears and watch Sesame Street on our iPod. So,
yes, my iPhone is one of my best travel accessories. Alexander has all sorts of games and stuff to watch, to listen to on there. And so we don't take anything with us anymore when we go to a restaurant. But more often than not, I'm pulling out the iPhone.
Yep.
Board or whatever. Yes. Yes, I love that. Okay, one last question. Carrie. And she writes, "We are not frequent flyers, but we will be traveling with a 2-year-old this November. I read about the carriage restraint system and was wondering if anyone had used it, what their thoughts were. Since we won't be renting a car, it seems crazy to be dragging a car seat around everywhere. I'd appreciate any thoughts on the topic." I think that if you are not renting a car and don't have issues getting to and from the airport, you have to always remember that, then, and it's, you know, it's a 2-year-old, and money is not the issue, then I would say that that's a good idea. But if you, you know, you have to consider how you, maybe you're leaving your car seat in the car at the airport, or, you know, who knows, or something, that would be okay. You know, but, you know, when a child is younger, I would prefer to use the car seat over the carriage harness, just so that that's clear. I mean, little babies, of course, it would never work for, but, you know, I mean, there's kind of a gray area in there where you could go either way. And I think that, you know, the car seat is going to be better protection than
the
harness.
And especially, so, I think at the age of two, they're used to being restrained in a car seat.
And happier. Yep. Right. So I know that I didn't use the carriage harness. I don't think it was. I mean, I know that I started using it when it first came out. I don't know exactly when that was, but I'm quite sure. I think he was like three or something. So, yeah. So that's what I think.
My best friend actually started using it when her son was just two. She was so excited, and she found it really difficult with him when he was tinier because she didn't feel like he sat in it well. It didn't fit him real well.
Yeah.
He did meet the minimum requirements for it, the minimum weight requirement, but he was so tiny she didn't feel that it tightened real well on him, and she went back to using the car seat on the plane. So I agree with you in that respect.
I think that the one thing is to consider, the most important thing is, you know, protecting your child. So all that always comes before, I can get away with not doing it. Or, you know, I don't have to buy that extra seat on the plane because, you know, my baby's under it too. Buy it, please. I know it costs so much. I know it's so much, but this is your child. It's really important.
Yeah.
So. And I'm not rich, you know, but we always bought a seat for Alexander, and I always would again. So.
We traveled with Ryan one time as a lap baby, and that one time was enough to show me that I never wanted to do it again.
Well, I have to share a story with you. Bethany was two. I don't know if it was her first trip or her second trip. She might have been just over two, but she was tiny two. So it would have been apparent to other people. They would have thought that she shouldn't have been in her own seat. But we always brought a car seat, and we were flying, and there were three of us, but my son wasn't born yet, and the plane was going to Orlando, tons of families. There was a family in front of us. They had two girls, mom, dad, and two girls. So the older girl was about 4 or 5, and then the younger one was just under two. She was big, but she was under two. She was a lap child. Bethany's sleeping in her car seat the entire trip. And this little 2-year-old is climbing all over mom, dad, and sister. Sister's crying because she can't get away from her sister. And the 2-year-old's crying because she's nothing to do and she's nowhere to sit. And the mom's just looking back at us and looking at Bethany sleeping in the car seat. There's something to be said about this is what they're used to. This is what they know. And, you know, the hum of the plane, most of the trips that we took with when my daughter was younger, she was asleep before we took off.
Yeah. Yep.
I always made sure to time all of his feedings and stuff so that he'd fall asleep after we took off. Makes it much better for
Yes.
Well, awesome. Those were excellent questions. If you'd like to hear your question answered in the Passport and Moms podcast, please send an email to podcast@passporter.com or post on our message boards at passporterboards.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Christine.
Thank you.
That was excellent advice and information you've given
Yay!
Us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, as a reward for listening all the way to the end of our podcast, we have a Passporter discount code for you. This week's code is good for 25% off the list price of any Passporter in our store for the next 7 days. And the code is SAFETY. Just type SAFETY, all one word, all lowercase, during checkout at PassporterStore.com to get your discount. And that's our show, folks. Thank you for listening. Join us next week for more news, answers, and a special guest. Listen to more podcasts at passporter.com/podcast. Talk to you next week.